Psalm number 164. Praise Him, praise Him. On the first, 164. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, thank You for allowing us to be back here this evening. And I pray that You fill Brother Jimmy tonight as he preaches his first sermon to us and help us to have ears to hear and be respectful to hear what he has to say, Lord. And I pray that He will apply it to our lives, Lord. And I pray You'll be with Pastor Shell as he's out of town safely and bring him back home safely and his family. And, Lord, I thank You for everything that You do. Let all be done for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, next song, we're going to go to Psalm 150. Let's turn to our white handouts to Psalm 150. If you don't have a white handout, you could ask the usher to give one to you, or you could turn to your Bibles to Psalm 150. Psalm 150 in your white handouts. Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the psaltery and harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and organs, praise Him upon the loud cymbals, praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals, let everything that had breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, praise God the Father, praise God the Son, praise God the Holy Ghost, praise God in three persons.
How's it going, everyone? Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you don't have a bulletin, raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be more than happy to get one to you. If you weren't here in the morning, you missed the announcement that Pastor Shelley is not here. He is out of town on a family trip, but he'll be back this upcoming Wednesday night. I filled in for him in the morning, and for this service, you heard Alberto reference it, Brother Jimmy Stewart will be preaching for us, and so give him your full attention. Let's support him as he gets up and preaches what the Lord has laid on his heart. On the front of the bulletin, we have our memory passage, John chapter 1, and we're in verse 46 right now. On the inside are our soul winning and service times there on the left, and some of our church stats as well. And on the back of the bulletin, you'll notice some upcoming events. The Heritage of the Lord Conference, it's getting closer and closer. We are one step closer now here at 5:30, at the 5:30 p.m. service, to the Heritage of the Lord Conference geared toward the children. This will be a memorable event. I can't wait to hear Pastor Bruce Mejia tear the house down. I can't wait to hear Pastor Roger Jimenez tear the house down. They're coming to preach for us as a part of this conference. On Saturday, we're going to have multiple fun events, a spelling bee for the children, and they're all going to do a great job, I'm sure. And we also have some other things that are going on, the trampoline place that we're going to. Let's see who can make a fool of themselves there. That's going to be fun. And on October the 27th, we have a fall swap starting at 9 a.m. going to 3 p.m. October the 29th, an Arlington soul-winning blitz. This is the Lugo West soul-winning blitz. On the 31st, we have a Texas chili cook-off, 5:30 to 9 o'clock. 5:30 to 9 o'clock, the Texas chili cook-off. You can forego worshiping the devil on Halloween and instead come and hang out with the people of God. November the 5th, a music recital from 2 to 4. And on November the 10th to the 12th, the Matamoros soul-winning trip. And this will be a great chance to go and get the gospel to Mexico. On the 23rd of November, a Thanksgiving dessert fellowship. And who doesn't love dessert? So come check that out. December the 2nd, a ladies' Christmas party from 6 to 9 p.m. That means I'm sure they're going to have a great time, and I'll probably be watching the kids that day. We have our business meeting on October the 16th. That is not next Sunday, but the Sunday after. All active members of Steadfast Baptist Church are invited to attend. This meeting occurred last October. If you're a member of our church, Pastor Shelley wants you to be there. On the 16th, it's after the evening service, after the 5:30 p.m. service, we'll roll into this meeting where things will be discussed. There are multiple items on the agenda, so make sure you're present for that. More information on the music recital. We're excited to host. Obviously, that's what it says. We're all excited about this. Our first youth music recital on Saturday, November the 5th, from 2 to 4 p.m. Parents, if your child desires to participate, please fill out the sign-up sheet on the front cabinet. The tryouts for the recital will be held at the church on Sunday, October the 22nd. Time slots will be assigned later. All instruments are welcome. We'll only be supplying the piano. It's right there, as well as voice. So I think that's pretty much it for the announcements. So let's move on to the next song, which should be song 154, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Song 154.
Good song reading there, Brother Ben. All right, song number 154, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. 154.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds, is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our heart in prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one. Our comforts and our cares, we share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear. And often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. But we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
Right, singing.
As the offering plates go around, please turn your Bibles to Psalm 23. That's Psalm 23. We'll read the whole chapter, as our custom is. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here this evening, and we just pray that you will fill Brother Jimmy Stewart with your Holy Spirit. Calm his nerves. Give him the words that he needs to speak tonight. Help him lay on our hearts one important truth that he has for us. And we just thank you for all the souls that were won to Christ. And we just pray that you'll water the seeds that were planted out there and that they will spring up in everlasting life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good evening. I first want to thank Pastor Shelley for giving me the opportunity to come and preach to y'all today. I'm super excited, super excited. Well, we're there in, let me set my clock here. I promised myself I wouldn't break the world record for sermon length on my first time out. We're there in Psalms 23, and you know, Psalms 23 is a really famous psalm. I mean, it gets read all the time. Everyone knows, you know, the walking through the valley of the shadow of the death. It's not like an unheard of thing. Unsaved people heard about it, you know, a lot of times, but like a lot of verses in the Bible, you know, they go over people's head and they just don't even read what it even says. And so I figured we'd look at it and find some good truths out of this. And this is kind of the intro to the sermon here. But look there at Psalm 23. Look at verse 5. And let's kind of start from the backside of it, the second half. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, when you think of oil in the Bible, a lot of times that's a picture of the Holy Spirit. It also can be a picture just of, you know, blessing, because oil was, you know, something that everyone couldn't get. So it's just this idea of blessing, also the Holy Spirit. And the second half there, my cup runneth over. Again, another picture of just abundance. And the Lord, you know, loves to just pour out abundance onto, you know, his people. But look at the first half there of it. It says, thou preparest a table before me, and it's in the presence of mine enemies. Okay, now this table is a great picture of the Christian life or our walk. And there's many aspects and there's many tables in the Bible, but specifically in this one, we have the shepherd leading, and you get a table, and you get oil, and you get a cup that overflows. But what I want to really point out here at this first part for the introduction here is, thou preparest a table before me. Now, where's the table? In the presence of mine enemies. Uh-oh, enemies. See, Christians don't like that word, enemies. See, many Christians think that they're being led by the Lord. In fact, a lot of people want to be led by the Lord. And you hear this, oh, God called me to do this. God called me to do that. And then the slightest little thing comes in and it just, you know, it derails them. I mean, they're looking for this red carpet to be laid out for them. They're looking for spotlights to show them the way. And they're, oh, there's a pebble in the road. I can't go that way. You know, they stop. They run. They go the other way. You know, they don't understand what the Christian life is about. They don't understand the leading of the Lord. And enemies are not like a new subject. Look, Genesis chapter 3, the fall happens, and God's talking to Satan, and he says, I will put enmity between you, or excuse me, thy seed and her seed. Right. Right? The devil has a seed. And no, it's not the Nephilim. Thank you very much. There's children of God, and then there's children of the devil, and there's enmity. Enmity is like extreme hatred. And how about when the children of Israel are leaving Egypt, right? There's literally, they're being led by the hand. Pharaoh's right behind them. Sounds like an enemy. How about the Apostle Paul? He kind of sums this kind of dichotomy up in 1 Corinthians 16. He says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. There's always this kind of dichotomy about this, the leading of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord with enemies. And they're always right there. See, many people are asking, Lord, where's this table of blessing? I mean, how many sermons do you hear, you know, out in the world that's about blessings? I mean, they can't talk about money enough. That's all they're talking about, right? That's it. But see, they're missing out on the table because they don't have any enemies. And in fact, their walk gets so jacked up that they literally start to doubt God. Psalm 78:19 says, yea, they spake against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You see, if you don't have any enemies, you don't have a table. So point number one of my introduction here is very simple. Get yourself some enemies. Hey, if you don't have any enemies, you don't have a table. And now when I say get yourself some enemies, I'm not saying, you know, be contrarian or start being a jerk to people. I'm not saying that whatsoever. In fact, the opposite of that. The answer, of course, is found in the Bible as far as how do we get enemies. 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay, so why does living godly mean that I'll have enemies? John 7:7 tells us the answer to that. Jesus says, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. So why does living godly mean that you're going to get enemies? Quite simply because they see Jesus in you reflected, and they don't like that. Quite simply put, you get enemies when you live godly because your enemies hate Jesus. Turn over to Luke chapter 6. Now, the problem is a lot of Christians are kind of, you know, in this state where they want this blessing of the Lord. They want the table. They want the leading. The problem is, where's the table? It's in the presence of the enemies. Problem is, they don't have any enemies. The problem is, the devil isn't even their enemy in a lot of these churches. A lot of times the devil comes by and is like, who called a meeting? I didn't even know. You know, there's so many devil. There's so many literal enemies of God in these churches that then they're their own. Well, Lord, bless me, bless me. But you can't get blessed with the whole church full of the children of the devil? Are you kidding me? They don't know the fact that the Lord leads, and when he leads, the world doesn't like it. You know why they don't know that? Because they're exactly like the world. See, they want that cup of overflowing, right? And so what do they come? They come to the Lord with a shot glass. And the Lord's like, I can't fill up. And you know, sometimes he's gracious. He fills up this little, or maybe it's like a little sippy cup worth of cup, right? But I love how when the Lord says thy cup, you know, or excuse me, the in the psalm that my cup overfloweth, you know, he doesn't say like, well, I give you, you know, two omers worth. Like there's no value associated to that. So like if you fill up the cup, why don't you just get a bigger cup? And then watch the Lord fill that up, right? And then get a bigger cup. You got your 32-ounce, you know, big gulp, fill that up. What if you get crazy and you get a 50-gallon drum and you're like, Lord, can you furnish this? Can you? The Lord's like, yes, I can. Well, the problem is these churches, they got this little teacup over here and they're like, oh, I, Here you go, Lord. Can you fill this up? And they put it right there on the table, and their little table just falls over. The table is just a joke. It's a wobbly little Walmart table that's not going to hold anything. Well, the bigger the cup, right, the more the blessing. Chicken leg Baptist table over here down the street. Let me say that again. Chicken leg table Baptist down the street. They don't have any idea what's going on. What they need to do is get themselves some enemies, start following the Lord. That's the, and they also forget the fact that the Lord, if we look later on in our Psalm 23, we'll just real quick, let me look at that right quick. verse 4, the very end of verse 4. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. The rod. Okay, what's the rod? The rod of correction. Like, you're comforted as a Christian because if you start to get out of the way, look, the correction comes. Well, they kind of have this idea that Jesus don't have a rod. They're thinking that when he comes and rules with the rod of iron, right? They're thinking it's like this, like a pool noodle type of rod. They forget that Jesus has a rod. And, it's pretty sad, right, when Christians forget the rod, when churches aren't teaching about the rod. Look, spare the rod, what? Hate the child. Hey, pastors, hey, if you're sparing your flock the rod, you hate your flock. Hey, if you're a person who's not experiencing the rod of correction from Jesus, Jesus hates you. Is that not what the Bible says? Spare the rod, right? Hate the child. If you're not being corrected and you think you're a Christian, you got some issues over there. If you can read the Bible and see these sins, if you can go to church and hear the preaching, and then you can just literally leave and just live like the devil, you got issues, right? But these pastors don't ever have the rod. So what do their sheep do? They're just running willy-nilly, right? There's no correction. People say, I don't like this sermon. Well, this sermon don't like you. Hey, you got to have enemies. And if you don't have any enemies, just start living godly. You're going to get a whole slew of enemies just like that. Now, why do we need a strong table for our picture here? Psalm 68 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. So you can't have a flimsy table and expect all these benefits of the Lord to be put on it. He doesn't just start blessing someone that can't take it. Your walk, right, here's our table, your walk has to be able to behold, has to be able to hold the blessings of the Lord. You have to be able to hold it, right? It's kind of like this scale thing. You can't just expect this huge blessing when your walk is a mess. But people do. That they pay no attention to God. They don't read the Bible. They don't go to church, and they're going, oh, hey, God blessing me every day. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you hear it out soul winning all the time. But when you have your table set here, let's think about this. What's the table sitting on, right? What's the foundation? Well, 1 Corinthians 3 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, everyone and their mama says that they have Jesus as their foundation. From the whore of Babylon to, the Latter-day Saints to the Jehovah's False Witness. I mean, everyone says that they have Jesus as their foundation. But did I tell you to turn to Luke 6? Yes, all right. You're probably waiting for me over there. Let's look at Luke 6. Jesus is going to tell us what it means to say that Jesus is your foundation. Okay, let's look at Luke 6. We're in verse 47. Whoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and they could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But, verse 49, he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, the world, worldly, against which the streams did vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So intrinsically into the statement, Jesus is my foundation, here's what that really means. I'm hearing the word and I'm doing it. That means my foundation is Christ. Now, you can say your foundation is Christ, but if you see verses in the Bible, you hear sermons, and you're not doing it, look, your foundation is not Christ. So, recap here just again, and we're kind of in the intro here, the recap. The one who hears and does, their foundation is Jesus. Teacup Baptist Street, Teacup Baptist Church down the street, needs to tuck in that pinky, throw the little teacup away, get themselves a bigger cup, fix their table so they can figure out what in the world's going on. And then here, let me just, this last little thing, you know what kills me? Some of these folks got the nerve, and I'm talking about the unmitigated gall, to say, oh, do you have enemies? That means you're not following Christ. I mean, what Bible are you even reading? Well, they're not reading the Bible. I mean, to literally say that is the problem with Christians today is they don't have any enemies. Point number one, get yourself some enemies. Hey, welcome to New Testament Christianity over here. Turn yourself now to Exodus chapter 40 and Leviticus chapter 24. Kind of keep a finger in both of those real quick. Exodus 40 and Leviticus chapter 24. See, the Bible uses the word table in lots of different ways, lots of different contexts. In the Old Testament, we see the picture of the tabernacle, and you got the table, and you got the bread, and you know all these sacrifices. And you know, Hebrews 9 tells us that these things were a figure for the time then present. And a figure, you know, is like a picture, a physical representation, like of a spiritual truth and such. And that's what we're going to do here today, as we're talking about here. The title of my sermon is The Christian Table. The Christian Table. You're in Exodus chapter 40, and look at verse 4. And thou shalt bring in the table. All right, stop. Since we're doers of the word and not hearers only, we're going to bring in the table. Okay, there's the table. We're all set up. Good. We're doing good. We continue on there. And set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it, and thou shalt bring in the candlestick. All right? We're going to set ourselves up here, a candlestick. There we go. And then we're going to light the lamps thereof, all right? Let's light the lamps. Okay. Notice our candlestick has three lights, but it's one candlestick. This is called the Trinity. If it was one light here, then it would just be a candle, not a candlestick, right? You got to have three of them, and it's one candlestick. That's the Trinity. That's a side note. That one's for free. Now, look down at verse 23. You're still in Exodus 40. Look at verse 23. And it says, and he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. So, we're going to get ourselves some bread here. And, all right. Smells good. Got ourselves some bread. All right. There we go. Let's see here. We're in verse 23. Now, verse 24, and put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation. Okay, we already got a candlestick. We're doing good. Look at verse 27. And he burnt sweet incense thereon, as the Lord commanded Moses. All right, so we need ourselves some incense. Now, I don't really want to have any sort of smoke or fire in here, so we're going to do like a kind of a different version of incense here. We're going to have ourselves a if I can turn it on. All right, let's see. There we go. There you go. You guys sell some incense burning. If you ever want to see here, by the way, for, you know, that James 4:14 about your life is what, but just a vapor. If you ever want to know what that is, look at this vapor. Watch. Just pretend this is your life. Right? Let's follow like one of these little water particles here. That's it. That's how long it is. No, you see this. You see why the Lord says your life is like a vapor. I mean, it just appears, right? It disappears just like that. But in the context of our sermon here, we'll continue on. We did burn the sweet incense thereon. Okay. Now, switch on over to the Leviticus chapter 24 and look at verse 5. And thou shalt take fine flour. All right. We need ourselves some flour. Okay. We got ourselves one, what is this, like a pound of fine flour, pure flour in itself, this little burlap sack there. Got ourselves some flour. Now, I didn't go ahead and bake, you know, cakes. You know, you don't want to eat any of my cakes that I would bake there, but it does say bake 12 cakes thereof, 2 tin steels being one cake. Verse 6 says, and thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, and upon the pure table before the Lord. All right, so we got 4 elements here on our table. We got the bread, the candlestick, we got the incense, and we got the flour. Okay, these 4 elements are going to be our picture here today of 4 aspects of the Christian life. Specifically, each element here is a leg of the table. The table represents the walk of the Christian. It represents this journey as a Christian that we have here on the earth. This is our 4 aspects of our walk, or you could say it's the 4 fundamental elements. Welcome to an independent fundamental Baptist church. It's the 4 fundamental elements of our walk. That bread is just bothering me there. I don't like looking at that bread. Let's see here. This bread. See, the thing is, smells like bread, looks like bread. See, it's fake bread. It's actually not really bread. It's a prop. That's called your NIV of bread right there. So let's get us some real bread. Here's the flat bread. No leaven. I'll even do a couple of them there. Actually, no leaven, please. There's no leaven in this bread. There we go. That looks a little bit better. We'll get rid of this. So this table here represents our walk with the Lord, the table that the good shepherd sets before us in the presence of our enemy. So point number one was, where's the table? And it's in the presence of our enemies. And the action item number one was, get yourself some enemies. You get those by living godly. Point number two, what's the table sitting on? And we talked about that it's sitting on the foundation of Jesus. So you can't have a little tilted table. You got to have a flat table, a square table, a true table, in order to be able to hold the weight, hold the blessings that he daily loadeth us up with. Now, we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 26. And we had mentioned there the action item number 2, just as a way of going back over it a little bit, was to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. Be a doer of the word. So you hear, let's say you hear a sermon from Pastor Shelley. Let's say last week with how to be a good wife, right? He had like 139 points about how you could be a good wife. It was an amazing sermon, right? Here, you ready? Can you tell me right now in your mind 3 of those points? If you can't, I would suggest go back, listen to him, find a couple, and implement it. I mean, he's not preaching for his health, right? He's doing it for us. We need to learn from what he has to teach us from the Bible and implement it. Implement it. Then your foundation is on Jesus Christ, is when you're a doer of the word. Right? There's a real easy example. So our Christian table must be strong so it can hold a lot of weight. Song of Solomon 5 says, his legs are as pillars of marble. His legs are as pillars of marble. Strong legs. You're in Proverbs 26, right? Look at verse 7. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. The legs of the lame are not equal. You know, legs can grow, they can get stronger, they can get longer, they can get shorter. You ever had that thing when you're a kid and you sit down at the table and it kind of rocks a little bit and dad's like, oh, just grab a sugar packet, stick it under there, you know, just to kind of level it out a little bit. See, legs can, how did the leg of that table change? I mean, it's the same table you've been sitting on at dinner for, you know, how many years, but all of a sudden one day it's wobbly. I'll tell you why, because, Hebrews 2 tells us, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Things have a way of slipping, and you didn't even know what happened. You're like, how did I end up over here? We have to take careful heed to the things that we hear, lest at any time they slip. And the last thing you do is to say, oh, no, I got it down. I don't need to pay attention to that. I mean, that is a pure, prideful, puffed up type. And look, even if you got it down, hey, thinking about these things just to make sure they don't slip, strengthening those things. Like, I'm not saying your legs are lame, but, we can always strengthen legs in some sort of way. Nothing else, just thinking about the legs of our walk to strengthen those things. So the first leg of our Christian table, the first fundamental we're going to look at today. The first fundamental aspect of our Christian table here is the bread. All right, turn to Psalms chapter 1. Now, the bread represents, in this case, the Bible. So the first fundamental element of our Christian walk is the Bible. Matthew chapter 4 says, but he answered and said, it is written, thank you, sir, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word is often compared to bread in the Bible. You're in Psalms 1. Look at this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Now, is that something that you can say about your walk, that you love the law? I think we're real good about that around here. I mean, it's not even something you'd think you'd even have to mention, because we're all about the Bible here. But, we're going to bring it up, lest these things slip. Right, we're going to bring it up, that the Bible, and not just the Bible, no fake bread Bible, right? We're talking about the King James Bible. Like, if you're on the NIV over here, your leg is lame. Now, it's one thing to be able to stick a little sugar packet under a leg to kind of raise it an inch, but look, the King James Bible leg here, what's that, about 2 feet long? The NIV leg's about, an inch? Half inch? You can't stack up sugar packets this tall and think it's going to hold any sort of weight. Let alone if you don't even have the leg, how are you going to put a weight on there? The table's going to just topple over. You got to have that leg, and it's got to be strong. It's got to be true. It's got to be able to hold the weight. Okay, so how do we then strengthen our Bible leg or our aspect of our walk? Well, we got to read the Bible. Read the Bible. Now, specifically, my suggestion is that you have a Bible reading plan. And one very easy way to have a Bible reading plan is to not lose your Bible reading plan. Here it is, right? The one-year Bible. Available at all your favorite Walmart in King James, one-year Bible. Super easy way to just read the Bible in 1 year. You don't even have to do anything else. But there's 100 ways to skin a cat when it comes to reading the Bible. I use a method here of these little things around here? I use this method. I don't really care. Here's your minimum length for your Bible leg is that you're reading it cover to cover once a year. But hey, we can beef that up a little bit, maybe a little bit more. There's nothing wrong with beefing up the leg. Why? Because as the table goes stronger, the blessings that the Lord gives to you grow stronger. You're not just growing stronger for the fun of it, right? Literally, you're growing stronger in the Lord, and then it's reciprocal. You start getting more blessings from the Lord. Conversely, you start getting more enemies from the Lord as well, but that comes with the territory. So the first leg of our Christian table is the Bible. Hey, and if you're not King James only, you're lame. Your leg is lame. Second leg of our Bible here, represented by the incense. Now, the incense in the Bible, turn to Luke chapter 18. Incense in the Bible often represents prayer. And what I'm talking about here is the four legs of the Christian table. Four fundamentals of Christianity, and specifically in our walk. The first one is Bible reading. The second one is prayer. Psalms 141, 2 says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now, these scriptures that we're going to look at here, there's an interesting connection, which I can't really go into too much for sake of time, but there's an interesting connection between prayer and end times, and I'll invite you to search that out on your own after we look at a couple of these, but you'll see this is pretty interesting. First thing I think of, and you don't have to turn there, but Revelation 8 is a classic example. Think about Revelation 8, and if you don't know off the top of your head, but you remember that's the silence in heaven for a half hour, and then the angel has the incense with the prayers of all saints, right? And then he lights that incense, and it goes up, the smoke goes up, right? What happens after that? God's like, take that coals and throw the fire to the earth. I mean, there's an interesting connection there between prayer and this end times and the wrath of God. But if we're in, we'll get to that here. Luke 21, verse 36, it says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Watch ye therefore and pray always. I mean, isn't that interesting that the Lord's like, look, you need to watch and pray always. But then he says, to stand before the Son of Man. Now, you're in Luke 18, right? Luke 18, look at verse number 1. He says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, or for this reason, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Okay, so Jesus gives a parable for this reason that men ought always to pray. Now, parables, you know, you don't build doctrine on them. But sometimes parables are explained. And in this case, he says, let me tell you why I'm going to give you this parable. Because men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he gives the parable of the unjust judge, right? The gal's looking for avengement here. She's looking for something from the judge. And she's asking and asking, and he's ignoring and ignoring. He's asking and asking and asking. Look, let's pick it up here in verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now look at this last line here. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now that's interesting because God's avenging his elect, right? I thought we were raptured out before. Literally, this is a great verse that shows what a fraud pre-trib rapture is. Why is he avenging his elect? I thought they were taken out. Why is he avenging them? There's no avenging that needs to happen in this story here, right? No, because we will be going through it, and we will be praying. Look, the Lord Jesus is saying the end times are going to be so nuts that people are going to be praying and praying and praying and praying, and they're going to be going, God, why aren't you helping? I mean, it's going to be so nuts. And he says, look, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. I don't care how crazy it is. Just keep praying. And look, he's trying to tell you that God hears our prayers and don't give up. So much, hey, will the Son of Man, when he comes, find faith on the earth? Again, when he comes, what does it mean when Jesus comes? That's the rapture. Jesus says that the end times are going to go be so nuts. To keep praying, that God hears our prayers. Now turn to Daniel chapter 10, and it's an important thing to remember that God hears our prayers. He doesn't always say yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's you need to wait a little bit longer. But look, the time to learn how to start praying is not when the abomination of desolation is standing in the holy place. That's not the time to be like, maybe I should start learning to pray. You know, you should have your prayer down before end times are actually here. This is like the prep for it now. I mean, that's literally what he's saying. Hey, learn to pray. Don't faint. Keep praying. Keep praying. So it's time to get that prayer leg of our Christian table, you know, beefed up a little bit, where it's just second nature, where prayer is just part of it. Look at, you're in Daniel 10, right? Look at verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou did set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 121 days. And he goes on. But look, he's assuring him that from the second that he prayed, God heard him. He heard him. And from the second that he started praying, but it still took 21 days for him to get an answer to his prayer. Hey, sometimes we pray and you don't get an answer. I got things that I've been praying for a long time. And, you know, sometimes that is like, nope, or wait, keep praying, just keep asking, ask, seek, knock, right? Keep going, keep praying, but we faint so quickly, I think. We don't get the answer that we want very quickly, and so what happens? We stop praying, or we stop asking, we stop seeking, and we faint in this regard. But what happens when it's really, really, really hard, when it's the end times, when it's just hell on earth going along? Is it, well, I guess God doesn't hear our prayers, we'll just give up. No, that's not what the Lord is saying to do. So it's not the tribulation now, obviously. So we're going to talk about prayer in our lives, all right? Turn to Acts chapter 2. While you're going there, I'll read you James 5. And it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Sounds like a commandment to pray. That ye may be healed, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So why do so many Christians have an uneven table? Because their prayer leg is uneven. Their prayer life is lame. And so their Christian table can't hold the weight of the blessings that the Lord is trying to give them or what even the Lord is trying to do in their life because their prayer leg is lame. Acts 2:42, and this is a great verse, sums up a lot of stuff, right? We're in Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued in these things. Why do so many Christians have a wobbly old table? Because their prayer leg is lame. Hey, if you're not praying, you're lame. So, action item number 4 is pray. And that sounds easy, but I'm going to give you some real concrete ways to do that. And there's a lot of ways to do a prayer type of journal. Just like we're going to track our Bible reading to make sure we get it all in 1 year. Tracking or having a prayer list is, well, let's get to this in a second. Hey, here's the first thing, right? Do you think these prayer requests are put in the bulletin because Dylan just don't have enough to do? I mean, he puts these in here for a reason, right? He's giving you prayer right here. I mean, you don't even have to do anything else but just look at the bulletin here, and you've got prayer requests right there. But if we're going to beef this thing up a little bit, here's an easy method. Now, you get yourself like a 3-ring binder or like a tablet, a paper, right, lined paper. And I kind of blew this up just so you, I don't know if you can see it, but you get a number 1 through 7. Each line, number 1, number 2, number 3, each one gets its own line. Then you skip a line. And then you number 1 through 7 again. Okay, simple. Now you're going to do this, fill however much you want. And then on each one, you're going to fill in a prayer. So let's say if this was mine, let's say number 1, I'm going to put my wife down. So number 1, wife. Number 2, maybe I'll pray for my mom. Okay, number 3, maybe I'm going to pray for my dad. Right? Each item, you put one thing on there. And fill this out. If you get 35 of these things, then you got yourself a nice little bunch of 1 through 7, skip a line. 1 through 7, skip a line. That's super simple. All the number ones you pray for on Monday. So on Monday, you pray for all the number ones. Number 1, number 1, number 1, turn the page, number 1, number 1. You pray for all the number ones. Then on Tuesday, you pray for all the number twos. On Wednesday, pray for all the number threes. Now, when you start out, it kind of gets generic, like, I'm going to pray for my wife. It's very generic. It's not, like, specific. And you'll have think of all the people that you know. You'll have a whole slew of people on your prayer list here really quick. But then as time goes on, it'll get real specific because someone will come up and say, hey, will you pray for me for this? By the way, if someone ever asks you for prayer and you say yes, you better pray for them. Don't just say yes. You say, oh, yeah, brother, I got you. Go to what is the thing called with the paper comes in there? You use it in school. I can't think of a spiral notebook. Goodness, I couldn't think of the word. Get yourself your spiral notebook, okay, with your prayer. Make it be something that only you see. You can share with your wife if you want, I guess. But I like to keep it for my own prayer, my own prayer closet. I don't show other people this thing. Get this list going. And now you've got, let's say over time, a couple weeks, couple of months go by, maybe even years, you're going to have hundreds of things that you've just 1 through 7, skip a line, 1 through 7, skip a line. And you can pray for all those. Even if you had 35 of them, then you got 1 week. 7 things, 5 days, right? You got a 1 week worth of prayer very easily. Now, here's the cool thing that I like about this with the spiral-bound notebook there. When something gets answered, when a prayer is answered, then you highlight it. Now, why you highlight it? Because when you highlight it, now you're going to say, oh, when you start flipping through your pages and you got, let's say, 50 pages of things, you're going to see all these highlighted marks of things that have been answered, of prayers that have been answered. And then when you're thinking to yourself, boy, you know, I'm just not getting that many of my prayers answered, you've got this spiral-bound notebook with highlighted of all the things that you've prayed for that have been answered. Look, you're going to find out the Lord answers a lot of our prayers. But you have a record of that that you can see, and it can encourage you. I have some of my old notebooks going back to the early 90s, and I'm going, I remember when I prayed for this stuff right here. And I'm just flipping through, and I can see all these little highlighted marks, and it's a blessing to see it. I mean, it is. I go, hey, God answers my prayers. And it's not because I'm so special, whatever. It's because he answers our prayers, because he hears our prayers. Now, sometimes the answer is no. Hey, thank God for no. No's good. But you keep track of it from this. And even with your kids, you could do just maybe just a 1 through 7, not like repeatable, just a 1 through 7. And it's on, let's say it's on the wall in their room. So Monday, let's pray for mommy on Monday. You got number 1 right there. Number 2 is daddy, or whatever. Customize it as you see fit. But it's just a way to have a 7-day where it's a very easy way to just have a lot of prayers and go through them and keep track of what you're doing as far as how your prayers are going. With me? Okay. Hey, how about this? Let's pray for Pastor Shelley. Talking about I don't have nothing to pray for. Hey, if you're married, you got a wife. You got something instantly to pray for. Hey, if you're not married, hey, you got something to instantly to pray for. Right? There's nothing wrong with praying for a wife that you don't have yet. You know, I'm not getting crazy with it. How about, Lord, wherever my wife is right now, I pray you bless her. Hey, you don't have to know her name. You don't have to know who she is. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I'd like a blonde or I'd like a brunette. No, I mean, I'm serious. Hey, you know, after I got married, my mom said, you know, I've been praying for you and your wife since you was a little boy. I've been praying that you wouldn't get caught up by some whore, but that you'd get a Christian, godly woman as a wife. And amen, it happened. And not because out of just whatever, it's because, you know, pray for stuff that you want. And if you don't, if you aren't married, you got 1 through about 9 right here, just wife. You know, hey, you can put wife on all 7. No, I'm not joking. Put whatever is important to you on there. You can, if you want to pray for that every single day, pray for it. I suggest that. I suggest that. Highly suggest that. One through nine. No dispensational calendar over here. So anyway, yeah, the bulletin, built-in prayer journal right there. Or, you know, you can get more fancy with it. And if it was kind of unclear, I know we don't have a lot of time, but I'll be happy to go through that and explain it later to you there. Okay, turn yourself over to Revelation chapter number 1. Now, we're talking about the Christian table, and the 4 legs of the table are 4 fundamental elements of the Christian life. Talking about the bread, which is Bible reading in the Christian life, the incense, which is prayer in the Christian life, and the stronger our table is, the more the Lord can loadeth us up with benefits. Now, the 3rd leg, here represented by the candlestick, is going to church. Going to church. Hebrews 10:25, classic verse on this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as the day approaches, right? Not forsaking it. It can slip. I mean, we get busy. I get it. We're in Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 13. It says, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with the golden girdle. Jesus, in the midst of these 7 candlesticks, the 7 candlesticks are the 7 churches, okay? Turn over to chapter 2, just a page over there. Look at verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Hey, church, Jesus is into church. Hey, Jesus is in church, right? Two or three or more gathered in my name. Look, when you miss church, you're missing out on your Bible reading. You're missing out on the preaching. You're missing out on prayers. Hey, you're missing out on Jesus when you're missing church. Now, there's a nice fake leg when it comes to church here. It's not nice, but there's a fake version of church. And in my experience, this would be called the home church movement. So now, we talk a lot about going to church here. So it's very easy to touch on. But let me say here, there are reasons to miss church. Probably don't hear very often. There are reasons to miss church. Number one, you're dead. That's an acceptable reason to miss church. Number two, let's say you go out of town and you're on vacation. Well, you can go to church while you're out of town. I don't know if you know that. How often are we going on vacation, right? Number three, I don't make the rules for Steadfast or nothing, but let me say that if you're sick, it is perfectly acceptable, yay, even encouraged, is at least as far as I'm concerned, to miss church. And especially if you got a family of 10 here and a family of 5 here, they'll play catch with that cold for like 6 months. And it just goes around and around. And sure enough, I will catch it like every third kid. I'm like the canary in the cage that the miners are walking down. It's like, oh, he died. There's a cold. You know, oh, Brother Jimmy's sick. There's a cold. So look, if you're sick, stay home. Right? We got live stream for a reason. No one's going to think less of you. In fact, how about this? Let's go back to our incense. Hey, send an email up to Brother Dill and say, hey, pray for me because I'm sick. Now everyone knows where you are. You don't got to worry about their vain Christian that wonders everyone's looking at you. No one's watching. But no, I mean, seriously, if you're sick, you know, stay home. And I know that's hard when there's a bunch of kids and it's just like just one sick kid can just ruin it or whatever. But just in reference for all the bugs that are going around and the germs nowadays, you know, we just need to be real careful with that. And if you're sick, you know, stay home. It's not going to hurt. We'll continue on with you. We'll be praying for you. Happy to pray for you, right? So we're looking at our Christian table here. We're looking at Bible reading, and if you're not King James only, you're lame. We're looking at the second leg, which is prayer, and if you're not praying, you're lame. And the third leg of our table here is church. Now, we're going to look to our fourth element here, which is the flower, and you're going to go to Romans chapter 10. Now, the fourth leg here, and I'll spend the remainder of my time really looking at this, is the flower. Now, why flower? Well, if you know how flour is made, you go out and you bring in the sheaves, then you take the little kernels off there and you grind off all the worldly parts, all the outside of it, the rough stuff, you grind it down, and then you grind it some more until it's turned into fine flour. So this is why I think flour represents soul winning. The fourth aspect to the Christian life, the fourth fundamental aspect of the Christian table is soul winning. And I tell you, this is a leg of Christianity that obviously y'all know most Christians don't have, right? And so what? Most Christians are lame. They don't have that. Look, if there was a leg missing, you put something on there, it falls right over. They're literally missing this leg of Christianity. They're missing the whole thing. I mean, my first 30 years as a Christian, I had zero soul winning. Zero. I did not go to an independent fundamental Baptist church. I had North American Baptist. I had Southern Baptist. I had New Evangelical of every sort of strain and color that you could imagine. I had Southern Baptist. Did I mention that already? but I never had it. And the first 30 years, I had one person that I personally saw saved, me personally. And then I come to Steadfast Baptist, and in the first 30 days, we have 4 salvations that I was part of. The first 30 days. And it's not because I'm some sort of whatever. It's because soul winning works. And it just amazes me that independent, now I'm not worried about the others, but independent Baptists just ignore this. And I'm blown away by that. You know, someone called me and asked and said, hey, will you look for a church in my area for me? I did. I found an independent Baptist church in their area. and looking at their doctrinal statement was good. So I called them up, talked to the nice lady on the phone, and I said, hey, King James only. She said, yes. Okay, check. Going through the list. And I said, you do soul winning? She says, oh, yeah. And I went, great. I mean, you know, you don't find that very often. And I said, do you do the Romans Road or what sort of, you know? She said, oh, no, we do visitation. And it was like, wah. I mean, I was so disappointed, you know. And I said, well, so I said, this is what I said to the lady on the phone. So are you telling me that you travel all the way to someone's house, right, or all the way to wherever you're going, and you don't just give them the gospel from, let's just say, the Romans Road? I mean, why? I don't get it. So further investigation, I was like, well, let's, you know, you got to find the best church in the area, and maybe this is going to be it. So I go onto their YouTube channel, and I'm watching a sermon. I just randomly picked one. First one that popped up, and it was kind of their end of the year sermon. You know, like this is what we've done for the previous year. I was like, oh, this should be good, right? And they go through the whole thing, and if I remember, it was $750,000. That's what they had brought in for the year. I was like, oh, that's impressive. Three salvations for the year. And while that is literally an abomination, what's worse than that is they were so happy for themselves. They was just clapping. I mean, you would have thought, I don't even know what. It was just despicable. I mean, we spent $750, bought some lunch, and got 55 people saved 3 hours away. And they got $750,000. They got a Christian school. I mean, it's a giant church. Giant might be the wrong words. You know, I just can't tell. Several hundred people. I didn't count, but they got a Christian school. They got every sort of Kiwanis program and felt whatever they got. They got everything. Big old building and three salvations for the year and two baptisms. And I was just blown away by that. Well, the fake leg. What's our fake leg? What's the false version of soul winning, right? They got this nice little baggie here. This is the little bag that kind of represents things like tracks. Tracks or maybe visitation. See, our soul-winning bag is burlap because it's a working bag. It's rough. It's not something that is like just sitting on a shelf. No, it's something that's out working. We're bringing in the sheaves. You got to have a bag to bring in the sheaf. You can't have this little thing like this and think this is what you're going to. Hey, you can't go soul-winning with a purse. You got to have a burlap sack to bring in those sheaves. Now, ladies, excuse me, you may go soul winning with a purse. Now, specifically, since we got to define everything, what I mean is, if you have a Y chromosome, you can't use a purse. You need to have a burlap sack. Now, what I mean by that is you're going out, and you're going to the doors, and you're knocking the doors, and you're bringing in the sheaves. He that, Psalms 120, I had you turn to Romans 10, but Psalms 126. Didn't I have you turn to Romans 10? Yeah, okay. I'll get there here in a second. Psalms 126 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. See, there's another aspect to soul winning that people don't get. And it's not just about going out. It's not just about, you know, giving the gospel to people, which absolutely, 100%, totally important. Don't get me wrong. But there's a personal, as a Christian, there's something that you need to experience. You need to go out and you need to talk to someone and you need to look them in the eye as they reject the Lord. See, you need to have your heart broken watching and like kind of mentally picturing this person literally sinking down into the lake of fire because they're rejecting the Lord. See, you need that as a Christian to soften your heart. Otherwise, I mean, it's like, let's say you got the rule book for baseball and you memorize that rule book, you know, frontwards and backwards, and you know the papyri of baseball and you know every rule of baseball, but does that mean you can throw a ball? It doesn't. Going out and soul winning is literally you're putting your faith in action. You don't even know what Christianity is because you're not even playing it if you're not soul winning. You're not playing it. Now, you're studying all about it, right? You're studying the rule book, but that doesn't mean that you're playing the game of Christianity. You got to put your feet on the ground and go out there, and you got to have your heart broken by people that say, no, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. Just today, the guy was convinced he was going to heaven because he was a good person. And he wasn't a good person because he was literally standing there drunk. And I had to convince him that he wasn't. Now, you don't spend time talking to a drunk. The only reason I was even there, because my soul winning partner was getting his son saved, who got saved. Meanwhile, dad is sitting here drinking, talking about I'm such a good person. It was unreal. And so finally he goes, you know, I get what you're saying, but it sounds too easy. Literally, that's what he said. It's too easy. He says, I have to do something. And now again, he was drunk, and the only reason I even talked to him because he was waiting for his kid to get saved, and which he did. Thank you, Lord. The kid got saved, 10 years old. He got it, man. He picked it up. I have a uncle that just recently passed away, and I heard the craziest story. It was he was not a Christian, lifelong atheist, and you know his wife was sharing the story that so he just died. 1 week ago, now they live in a real big, fancy, nice area up in Frisco. Now, 1 week ago, they got a knock on their door from a soul winner. 1 week ago. Now, first off, he was by himself, okay? But it wasn't from our church, as far as I know. I mean, I don't see him in here, but we got the one brother that lives up north over there, but I don't believe it was him. Why in the world would he be in this super rich, nice neighborhood, right? Maybe, but I don't think it was ours. But what... And then the guy's like, hey, do you have anyone here that needs to hear about the Lord? And then my aunt that's there says, no, we're fine. And she kind of stopped and was like, well, you know, my husband is literally days from death. Maybe I should bring in this person to talk to him. And I don't know exactly what was said, or I don't have any sort of anything. I don't have any information about it, specifics. But then theoretically, this guy went and he prayed with my uncle and he was able to lead him to the Lord. Theoretically, I don't have any sort of way to verify that. My aunt didn't hear what all they talked about. And so the guy didn't leave any literature. I mean, think about that. In the middle of Frisco, Texas, like, 3 or 4 days before the guy's death, a soul winner randomly by himself just knocks on the door, leaves him no information, like no contact, no track, no nothing. And then he's gone. I was blown away by that story. That was amazing. You know why? Because soul winning, man, it works, dude. It works. Mark 16:15 says, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, the Proverbs 11 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, you're in Romans 10. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet. Table got legs, leg got feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Hey, most Christians today at best, you know, got one or two legs. But us, no, we got all four legs. We're going to beef up those legs. And we got to have that soul-winning leg strong, man. Because if you don't, the blessings will come, and it's going to knock your table right over. Got to have that strong leg. The great part about soul-winning is, again, here's action item number 6. It's very easy to fix. Just go soul-winning. It's very easy. And there's nothing wrong with being the silent partner. I encourage you to be the silent partner. I love being a silent partner. In fact, I was already started to talk, and then I went soul winning with the brother, and I won't say who he is. I don't embarrass him, but I said, hey, I'm already talking, but can I just be a silent partner? And he was like, well, yeah, of course. I was pretty new. And I said, you know, it's just such a pleasure to listen to you preach the gospel. it's just a pleasure, you know? It's just nice to listen to the gospel being preached and watch people getting saved. Hey, be a silent partner. Just stand there. Now, you're not just standing there. Hey, look at this. You got to go to church to be sent. When you're going out soul winning, you got to have the Bible, right? While the silent partner, what are they doing? They're praying. And then what happens? Souls get saved. Look, this is your faith in action. All four legs of that table are utilized in soul winning. All four legs, and it strengthens those legs because you go, well, you know, I need a good verse on this, or I need a good verse on that. So it's putting you back in the Bible. And then you go and let's say you, hey, here's a crazy idea on our little 1 through 7. How about every person that you get saved, you write their name down? That's a great thing to do. I think I might implement that. That's a good idea. And then now you're just going to be praying for that guy for the rest of your life or however long you have this list going. Hey, how about you're praying for that person that just got saved, that they get baptized, that they might start coming to church, that they might start doing this same thing. They need that prayer. Who else is praying for them? Teacup Baptist down the street? They're not praying for anybody. You kidding me? Who are they praying for? So action item number 6 was go soul winning. Be a silent partner. Learn the verses. Start talking eventually. If you want, hey, if you only want to be a silent partner, you just be a silent partner. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. You know, Jesus as our shepherd is intimately involved with this walk that we have. I mean, you know, Jesus is the Word. Jesus prayed, and he taught us to pray. The Bible commands us to go to church, and Jesus dwells in the midst of the 7 candlesticks. 2 or 3 are gathered in my name. He's in the midst, right? Jesus is the Bible, or Jesus and the Bible, I should say. Jesus commands us to go soul winning. He's leaving the 99, going after the one. You know, it's the whole table in action that the shepherd is leading this table. This is how this is what I'm talking about, is the Christian table. It's the 4 fundamental elements of the Christian walk. But I tell you, even I was over here, how much time do I got? All right, I'm okay. Just this last week, I went to lunch, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just praying. I said, Lord, I need a good story to close the sermon out. You know, I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, something, you know, whatever. So I was over at Chipotle. I leave Chipotle, and I'm walking out of Chipotle, and all of a sudden, these 2 guys come literally running. Hey, can I talk to you? And so I said, okay, hey, what's going on? And they said, hey, are you a Christian? And I was like, oh, this would be interesting. And I said, yes, sir, I am. I am a Christian. We had an Asian dude and an Australian guy. And I said, I am a Christian. And I said, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, King James only, once saved, always saved, soul winning Christian. Yes, sir. And they were like, oh, hey, that's great. We go to Lifestyle Church right here. You know this Lifestyle, right? Todd White. I'm like, well, this is going to be real interesting. I'm thinking in my head, I go, well, I'm just going to make you famous this Sunday now. Here we go. Let's talk about it. So he goes, hey, can I pray for you? And I'm like, oh, all right, go ahead. And so here he come. Oh, you know, they're real charismatic over there. Oh, Lord, I feel like this man is a leader. And he's going to lead the... And it was just like the craziest nonsense, right? And so anyway, he's praying, and he goes on, and he finishes. And then I said, hey, let me ask you a question. He goes, oh, yeah, what? I said, you know, if you die today, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven? And he goes, oh, hey, I'm 100% sure. Hey, I lived that life. And I'm like, well, you know that living the life has absolutely nothing to do with being saved, right? And he was like, wait, what? And I said, is your faith in the blood of Jesus and in what he did? Or is your faith in the fact that you're doing something? And he's like, well, you know, you can't just... And I said, stop right there. Go ahead. Tell me a sin that I can't do that the Lord won't forgive. Go ahead. Tell me. And he's like, well, no, you can't just, you know, live however you want. And I said, do you think that you live like Jesus lived? Is that what you're telling me? You're telling me that your lifestyle, which is good, right, is, even though no one's good, is as good as the only guy who said there's only one who's good. But you're telling me you're comparing your life to Jesus's life, and somehow you think that's even. Son, you got yourself an uneven leg there. I said, look, it's real simple. I said, I can show you in 5 minutes what the Bible has to say about how you can be saved right now. And he goes, no, we don't have time for that. We got to get over here and talk to someone else. And I thought, what in the world, man? So I go back to work now, and I go, I need to kind of freshen up on Todd White because I can't hardly stand to look at him, so I don't really investigate. You know, I don't really follow. Look, if you're, you know, there, you get that sycophant thing, but if you're like listening to every sermon of someone that you don't like, there's something wrong with you. You got something, you need to have something better to do. Now, look, I get it. Clips come up. You know, if someone says, hey, this guy claims to be Jesus, you know, listen to that clip, right? That's good. But then if all of a sudden, you know, if you're listening to Adam Fannin every Sunday, every sermon, just so you can write down every little wrong thing that he says, I mean, come on, man. Do something else with your time. Like read the Bible, go to church, maybe you're going to pray a little bit. How about you go soul winning? That's something to do. But anyway, so I go back and I'm looking up Todd White, and I just right away, YouTube, I go, Todd White, salvation. Easy peasy. And the first one that pops up, hey, Todd White gets this person saved or something along these lines. And I'm like, oh, this should be interesting. So I watched a little video, and here's Todd White in this restaurant, and he's over at, I can't remember, Germany, South, he was in Europe somewhere. I can't remember where it was. And so the waitress comes up, right, and he's like, do you have a bad back? And she says, well, yes, I do. And he's like, were you a dancer? And she says, I was a dancer. Wow, this is crazy. And if you know anything about him, he's real charismatic with the whole thing, right? So he's like, oh, let me pray for your legs. Let me pray for, and so, okay, he prays for her, and she's blown away that he knew that she had a bad back, whatever. Okay, I'm still waiting for the salvation part, you know, so I'm skipping through. And eventually, okay, she's done. He's done, and he's prayed for her and the whole thing, and her back got healed here right in the restaurant, he says or whatever. And then so finally he goes, okay, turn around here and hold my hand. We're going to pray together, right? So she's like, wait, what? What do you mean? You know, hold my hand. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. He says, just repeat after me. Now, I've watched all this. He has mentioned zero Bible verses. He said the name of Jesus quite a few times, but there's, you know, no Bible verse has even been like partly quoted at all. Right? He takes you by the hand and he says, oh, Lord Jesus, you know, I accept you into my heart and blah, 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 whatever. And then amen. And he goes, congratulations, you're saved. And I was just like, are you kidding me, you filthy devil? Are you kidding me? Yeah. See, that gal's going to think she has this false sense of security now. She's had this, you know, this guy, this man of God, you know, those are big air quotes there, telling her that now she's saved because she said some prayer. He never even said, what do you believe? Like, hey, Jesus, there was no faith. I mean, there was literally nothing except she repeated the words, Jesus, you know, I accept you into my heart. Are you kidding me? Hey, Todd White got himself a lame leg over here. Todd White got a table that's like one of those Asian tables that's like on the floor where you got to sit on your leg. I mean, that thing is literally an abomination, man. It's funny because all TV preachers want to talk about is prosperity. And yet, they don't do any of the things in order to have prosperity. It's what's so bizarre. It just should show you how backwards these things are. It should show, I mean, look, when you're talking about the old IFB, how is this thing slowly wilting away? Their table is just getting weaker and weaker. And weaker. Hey, it's not that they don't have the King James Bible. Many of them have the King James Bible. It's not that they don't, you know, pray, I guess, theoretically. You don't see people pray, so you don't know, right? You shouldn't see people pray, by the way. It should be in your prayer closet. Todd White, thank you very much. You know, they have the Bible. They got church. But look, this last fourth leg of soul winning has emaciated their entire table because they've lost it. They're not playing the game, so to speak. They're not doing the word. Their foundation is not on the Lord. And now look, I'm not trying to wrap them all up into one. There's many good ones, plenty of good ones that are doing these type of things. There's plenty of good ones. So that's not just a broad brush. But look, these church, like I personally went to a church that went from 400 people. And by the time I got there, just because this is the area that I moved, it was four. 400 to four. You want to talk about getting the candlestick removed? Yeah, the candlestick got removed. And then you know what happened several months later? All of a sudden, the pastor died one day. I don't know where. Pastor's dead. And I was like, what in the world? Yeah, the candlestick got removed. And that church died, right? So we got a fill-in guy who says, hey, we're gonna ship things up. Ship up things. We're going to get things going. He says, we're going to get rid of the NIV. We're going to have the King James Bible. We're going to start soul winning. Well, the board didn't like that. See, the board was made up of two women. And the third dude was not saved. And the fourth guy was like the fill-in guy on the board. He was like the backup or whatever you call it. And, you know, he was still an active Mormon. This is a Southern Baptist church. I mean, are you kidding me? No, all those things are absolutely 100% totally factually true in every way. Well, eventually, what happens? This church says, we're going to look for a new pastor. They bring in the non-denom guy. The Calvary Chapel guy comes in. I talked to the guy. I said, hey, you got a plan? What's the plan for soul winning? This is what he told me. Soul winning's unbiblical. I said, okay, go ahead, explain that one to me here, Slick. He says, well, when it says, go ye into all the world, when you go back to the Greek, I'm not joking, this is what he said, it really means as you are going. And I'm like, all right. He goes, well, that just means you got to live lifestyle evangelism right there. I'm like, are you kidding me? He didn't last 5 years, and he's out now. Talking with one of these gals on the board, she said, well, I got rid of the past two pastors. I'll get rid of this guy, too, if you don't do what I say. That's what the board gal said to me, face to face. I mean, it's in third party. This is what is going on in Christianity today. The table of Christianity is being, just absolutely bastardized to the point of non-existence. But hey, here we got ourselves a strong table. We got the Bible, we got church, we got prayer, and we got soul winning. And we're out doing that. Hey, and let's take heed lest these things slip. Right? We're going to watch it. We're going to make sure that we reinforce those things in whatever capacity that looks like. I'll tell you, the only thing that I know is that of everyone that I asked in preparation for this sermon here about what their Bible reading plan was or what they did for Bible reading, not one person said, you know, I don't really read the Bible. Now, I didn't ask everyone, but of everyone that I asked, no one said, I don't read the Bible. Everyone had some sort of plan, every single person that I talked to. And the great thing was they were all kind of different. It was actually kind of a blessing to listen to. And we just talked about the different ways that people read the Bible. And it was a blessing to talk about that. And it warmed my heart to know that y'all are reading the Bible. And I want to reinforce that with you. Keep doing it. You just keep on going reading the Bible. Keep on coming to church. Keep praying. Hey, and keep soul winning. Look, these four fundamental legs of the Christian table that the shepherd leads us by puts us into the presence of our enemies. Right? You're going to have yourself some beautiful feet, or you're going to have yourself some lame legs. And if you're lame, if your table is a little wobbly, hey, fix it. It's a little wobbly, right? Fix it. Final thought here on this is I'm going to read this for you, 2 Corinthians 4:8. And look at this dichotomy that Paul says. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. There's this wonderful dichotomy of being led by the Lord, led by the shepherd, into the presence of your enemies. And look, the first point was get yourself some enemies if you don't have them, right? That was the first point. And if you don't have enemies, get yourself some enemies, start living godly, and you'll have yourself more enemies than you can shake a stick at, right? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you for Steadfast Baptist Church. Lord, thank you that we can freely preach your word here, Lord. I pray that we would be not only hearers of the word, but, Lord, that we would be doers of the word. Allow these action items in the Bible and in prayer and in going to church and in soul winning, Lord, let those things be heavy on our heart, Father, as we take action to be a doer of the word here, Lord. And we pray for Pastor Shelley that you bring him home safe and sound to us and that you bless his time wherever he's at, whatever he's doing, Lord. Thank you, and in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, for the final song, let's turn to song number 319. 319. Just a closer walk with thee. 319. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong.
this fight as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Amen. You are dismissed. God bless y'all. Have a good evening.